Members, let's call the meeting to order. Welcome to today's Telecom Regulation Infrastructure Division. We do have some minutes that need to be approved. They've been moved to be approved. We do have a quorum. Any discussion about them? Representative Woolley did move the minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. Thank you, Representative Woolley.
Glad to help, sir.
We're going to call up a bill that we heard last week. Representative Lesh, if you want to come to the table and Representative Lilly, if you want to move this bill as well, House Bill 854, you recommended to pass and refer to the Commerce and Labor Committee.
Okay.
Representative Lesh, if you want to can I give a brief summary of where things are at and what you got before us?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The industry folks, particularly I think the AT&T folks, put a lot of hours into this and figured out a direction that we could go. In the interim, while they were doing that, I also did some work on my own. I have an amendment here. If I can have the page pass out the amendment, we only have four copies. Does the chair have a copy of this amendment?
Yes, it's in our packet.
Okay, good then. We're probably okay then. The motion would be to delete subdivision one, Mr. Chair, and move forward. The industry folks did talk to me yesterday and said that they would also like some modifications in the subdivisions 2 and 3, but I wanted to proceed through this committee with subdivision 1 while I had an opportunity to examine those subdivision 2 and 3 changes ahead of time. But I think, as I understand it, the removal of subdivision 1 does the lion's share of what they need. It removes the $50 cap portion and some other constraints. And I apologize, but I don't have the language with me right now. I just have the amendment.
Thank you, Representative. I'll go ahead and move the A1 amendment. Any discussion about that? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is placed on. And to your bill, Representative.
Well, that, as I stated, Mr. Chair and members, that would remove the $50 provision. And again, I need to get the language. Mr. Chair, of the bill. So it's pretty straightforward. It takes out the 60-day provision, the $50 and the 60-day, which is the source of a lot of contention from previous discussion.
Thank you very much. Members, any discussion? Representative Hoppe?
Mr. Chair, are we going to hear from anybody from the wireless, any of the wireless companies from the industry about this bill?
Nobody's contacted us test by, but we're certainly willing to give them the opportunity if anybody wants to step forward and say anything. They're welcome to do so. Welcome, Mr. Bath. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chairman Johnson. Bob Bath. I'm the president of AT&T in Minnesota.
Mr. Chair?
That's fantastic.
Thank you. Mr. Bass, where are we? What do you think? Do you like it? And I appreciate Representative Lesher's, you know, going and working with the companies, and I still don't like the whole idea of the bill, but I think this makes it better. So I'm just curious to see what you guys think.
From our perspective, this is a good start. The language that we have proposed to him goes a little bit further, and he's agreed to take a look at that additional language as we move forward. So while these are things we already do, we can live with this.
Very good. Well, that should about do it then. If anybody has any further questions, Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm reading the amendment here. You can make sure I got the right way. 854. We're going to delete subdivision 1, I understand. Then I'd line 16, it says, insert subdivision 1. It would read, for the purposes of subdivision 1, authorized use means, but we've just deleted it. Is that, am I missing something this early in the morning, or is that what we mean to do?
Mr. Ira?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My thinking here was that when the subdivisions are renumbered, there will be new subdivision 1.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm sure this isn't decaf, but now I'm looking at line 1.4, and it does say renumber the subdivision. It wasn't a trick question. Honestly, I'm just not awake yet. Thank you.
Very good. Representative Left moves at House File 854. Or actually, I do. I'm going to move that House File 854 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to Commerce and Labor Committee. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Left, for being here this morning. And Representative Jackson.
Welcome. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And let me move your bill first, Representative Jackson. I'm going to move that House File 1038 be recommended to pass and referred to Commerce and Labor Committee.
That's correct.
And you have an author's amendment, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
I'll move that author's amendment. Any discussion about that? It's A2, 1038 A2 amendment.
Mr. Chair,
I
like the amendment, I think, but maybe this is a Representative Beard type question. But when I look at the amendment, it's early in the morning, but the amendment says on line 1.2 of the amendment, page 2, delete sections 2 and 3. When I look at the bill, it looks like section 2 starts on page 1.
Ms. Diva?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's early in the morning, but I think you're right, Representative Hoppe.
That's something you don't hear every day.
But I have to tell you, note the time and day.
Representative Hoppe, would you like to make a motion to clear that up?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think the A2 amendment line 1.2, change page 2 to page 1. Delete section 2 and page 2, delete section 3, or whatever legal we have to say to do that.
Very good. Then moved. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and that amendment is taken care of. And now we need to vote on the A2 as amended. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. I think we have the bill now where it needs to be.
I think we do. And ironically, what's left of the bill is only addresses public utilities and takes telephones and telecommunications companies out completely. But the bill, currently, if the commission determines that a rate has been applied in a manner inconsistent with statute, the commission, or a commission rule or an order, and which resulted in the company receiving revenues which it should not have, the commission cannot just order a refund to the consumer. It has to refer to the Attorney General. This bill would authorize, and I think it's always been sort of implicit that the commission could do that, but this makes it explicit that indeed the commission can do that. And for better, more detailed information on how this all works, I have a lifeline here, and that's Dr. Burl Haar from the PUC.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Haar, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Burl Haar. I'm the Executive Secretary for the Public Utilities Commission. Right, as Representative Jackson explained, the bill as amended would give the commission, clarify the commission's authority to provide refunds in the event that rates were inappropriately applied or applied in incorrect manner and resulted in revenues going to utilities that they're not really entitled to. So it clarifies that language. It does not change any of the commission's current authority over penalties or other types of remedies that are already in statute. It leaves those as is. It reaffirms existing language that prevents what we call retroactive rate making, where an effort could be made to go back and change rates that are already deemed reasonable. This law would simply reaffirm existing prohibitions against doing that, and it also put a 6-year statute of limitation on the refund period, that there would be a limit on how far back in time the refund could be applied. So those are the main provisions of the bill as it currently stands, and as Representative Jackson pointed out, it applies strictly to energy utilities at this point under Chapter 216B.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hara. Members, as you probably ascertained, the reason we brought the bill to committee was to take care of that Section 2, I guess, in particular. Any questions that members have about this bill at this time? Representative Kiffmeyer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I heard you mention here, sir, that the issue of the refund is a sunset date, 6 years.
6-year statute of limitations, that's correct. That's basically the commercial statute of limitations.
Okay.
Under law.
All right, and that's what's referenced in here? That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Captain Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Curtis Jackson, I realize this is the first time that you have been in front of this committee, and I just wondered if you had had an opportunity to review the rules and procedures of this committee, noting that number 3, appropriate decorum expected. Mr. Chair, I wasn't sure that the references to lifelines were something that we were, you know, as part of the committee.
Well, sorry.
Mr. Chair, move the table to Bill. I think that's right.
Mr. Jackson,
Chairman, I have been waiting in anticipation for this very moment, and at least if I have to take my hazing at the hands of Representative Taylor, I consider it an honor. Oh, and Representative Pompey.
Very good. Well, if there's no further comments, I'm going to move that House File 1038, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to Commerce and Labor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you for coming down. Appreciate it.
Committee.
And that takes us to Representative Junkie.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House File 1149 to recommend a pass and refer to Committee on Commerce and Labor, and then I'd move a DE1 amendment to get it in the shape I'd like to have it.
Very good. Representative Junkie moves House File 1149 to recommend a pass and refer to Commerce and Labor Committee, and there's also a DE1 amendment. All those who... Any discussion on the DE1 amendment? First off, to put this in the shape we want, we'll let the author talk about it in a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. I think the bill's in the shape you want it there.
Well, Mr. Chair, as briefly as possible, while Mr. Young and others start making their way down here, basically, this is a telco bill for telephone companies. Amazingly enough, when you'll see it's Hoppy and Junkie that introduced this, when we introduced it, it was interesting. One by one by one by one, they all start showing up at my office, as happens with these bills. And so one by one by one by one, I asked that they go work together on this and see if we can't come to some communication resolve here and all get together on the bill. And Amazingly enough, and you'll see the time stamp on this is 6 o'clock last night on this DE1. Amazingly enough, I walked in this morning and no one was in my office, and I got down here and they said all the telephone companies agree with this. So I don't know if that's, you know, a sign from above or something that things are changing around here, but that's a good thing. Now, I'm not speaking for the cable companies and the others who are back here breathing down my neck, but at least I've got the telephone companies kind of in tune. So with that, it's a bill that basically the first part talks about how we treat competitive areas for four line business lines. If you look at the original bill, it was St. Cloud, Duluth, and the Twin Cities area. Now it's going to be the entire state. And then the second part of this talks about promotion activities, the number of days you can offer promotions, etc. So with that, Mr. Chair, I think it's best to hear from these loving arms telephone companies.
Thank you, Representative Junkie, and testifiers, if you'd just identify yourself off the record and go ahead.
For the record, Mr. Chair, my name is Randy Young with the Minnesota Telecom Alliance. This bill that you have before you is the result of a realization that we've come to over the past few years that there are certain regulatory requirements that made lots of sense maybe 30 years ago, but in the competitive environment that we have today, they really are incongruities to a competitive marketplace. I have with me this morning Sherry Rice from Hickory Tech, and she has really led the process within our association from the concept that we have a problem here to how do we deal with the problem, and I'll turn it over to her to walk you through the bill.
Welcome, Ms. Rice. If you'd identify yourself, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Kerry Rice. I'm the Regulatory Affairs Manager for Hickory Tech. And for those of you not familiar with my employer, we are the largest communications company headquartered in the state of Minnesota. We employ over 500 people in Mankato, Plymouth, and Duluth, and we have revenues of over $150 million. And when I get back today, I'm going to suggest we change our name to Loving Arms Telephone Company. I like that. For over 115 years, Hickory Tech has been the incumbent local exchange company in much of Blue Earth County. We do regard our place in the local economy very seriously, but recognize that our marketplaces are expanding and becoming more competitive. To that end, we also operate a competitive local exchange carrier in 8 rural Minnesota exchanges, as well as maintaining a statewide fiber network offering network services and backbone connectivity. I call your attention to this as I feel it lends a unique perspective to my testimony today. I come from an old-fashioned traditional phone company which has adapted to a fast-paced competitive environment. Unfortunately, many of our laws have not kept pace with that competitive environment, and they still prescribe regulation on top of the open, sometimes fierce competition that exists today. I'm here to suggest that House File 1149, which you have before you, is a small step to making some about-time changes to eliminate outdated regulations. The first provision of the bill, as Representative Junkie told you, extends to all of Minnesota a limited deregulated status that was granted to certain service areas of Quest about 4 years ago. Specifically, services provided to businesses with 4 or more lines would not be subject to the same level of regulatory oversight that they are today. Deregulation in this context means that providers won't have to file the rates and the tariff and wait for approval before offering the service, which frees up a lot of time and energy and brings the benefit of competitive pricing to our business end users that much more quickly. Oversights that will remain in place include protections against predatory pricing and complaint-based investigations. The second provision of the bill, which addresses promotions offered to end users, also brings us closer to a competitive marketplace that's fair to all providers. The old statute just seems to want to solve a problem that doesn't exist. No one, end user or otherwise, is harmed by promotional activity. So what we've proposed in the second provision is to remove some of the constraints imposed upon telecommunications companies in the promotional offerings. We've removed the artificial constraint of a 9-month limitation on a consumer receiving the benefits of a promotion and the possibility of having to produce cost information associated with the promotion. What is left is the ability to offer a promotion upon a 1-day notice to the commission, and we've added additional responsibility that the promotion must be available to qualifying competitors for resale to their customers. The bottom line is that with changes in this promotion is that Minnesota consumers are going to have the benefit of choosing from even more competitive offers. Our wireless competitors, do not face the same restrictions we currently do, and our cable friends who offer telephone service do not face these restrictions. Having these restrictions on promotions removed will put all competitors on that proverbial level playing field. While there are many issues in the area of telecommunications law that may warrant change at some point, House File 1149 proposes two simple changes. Really, they're just baby steps, which will provide great flexibility to telecom companies in the state. And Hickory Tech urges you to make the changes to the state law. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rice. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Welcome. Again, if you'd state your name for the record and who you're with.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representatives. I am Joanne Johnson. I am a Central Region Manager for Government and External Affairs for Frontier Communications. Frontier operates in 24 states. We have in Minnesota the Central Region headquarters. Central Region is comprised of 8 states. We're headquartered in Burnsville, Minnesota. 573 employees, over $30 million in payroll, and an investment over $1.2 billion in our network since we took over these lines in 1999. We are also glad to be part of the Minnesota landscape, and I used to introduce my company as being the second largest phone company in Minnesota after Quest. After reading yesterday in the Star Tribune, however, that Comcast is now the third largest phone company in the country with more lines than Quest, I may be the third largest. Given the growth capability of Hickory Tech, I should be fourth at this point. So I no longer know where to place myself, except that I know I'm still a mid-sized company. In Minnesota, a mid-sized company is Frontier Citizens and Embark CenturyTel. We are the ones that qualify as having enough lines to be outside the classification of a small company. Largely due to the current growth and vitality of our competitors and the economic strife to both our company and to our customers, we have no hesitation at all supporting 1149 with a great deal of enthusiasm. And as Carrie told you earlier, this is a very straightforward bill. And Section 1, which extends the benefit for small business customers statewide that they've enjoyed since we negotiated this language in 2004 for the metropolitan areas, including St. Cloud and Rochester, Frontier was one of the companies that was able to utilize that pricing flexibility to competitive bid and keep our customers wherever we could make a good deal for them instead of being limited to pricing only on tariffs. Since that time, neither Quest nor Frontier has gotten any complaints to the AG, to the Department of Commerce, or the Commission regarding predatory pricing or any other type of malfeasance seen by the competitors, and certainly no complaints from customers. Therefore, it seems to me perfectly logical to extend this benefit to small businesses statewide. Section 2 contains a change in the promotion restrictions that was very important to us. In fact, that was our primary goal this year. Section 2 will eliminate the restriction on a 90-day or 9-month time frame on promotions to the customer. Promotions are how everybody markets now. Promotions, bundles, packages. It's the only way for us to stay alive. At this point in time, although it hampered us competitively, increased our marketing costs greatly because this was the only one of our 24 states and the only one of Embark and CenturyTel's 18 states that carried a limitation that would disallow offering a promotionary package for a year's time. What it really did was disadvantage the customer. Cable companies routinely offer promotions for a year. Wireless companies routinely offer pricing on 2-year contracts, and so we were the only competitor out there that had this restriction, and our customers were the only ones who faced the hassle of having to re-up more than once a year in order to gain some sort of economic benefit. So it seems apparent that we no longer need to give special consideration to the competitors and instead should be giving the equal opportunity to the customer. We believe that these two changes in and of themselves are enough impetus to pass the 1149 with no problems whatsoever, but we do like Section 3 too, since the language that we passed in 2004 was due to expire in August of 2010. Section 3 fixes that and allows us to move forward with the same statute 237, and it will go on into perpetuity until then we rewrite that chapter someday for telecom regulation. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair, representatives. Thank you for your time.
I thank you very much, Joanne Johnson, for your testimony. Is there anyone in the audience wish to speak in opposition or any other concerns regarding the bill this time? Seeing none, members, questions? Seeing none, Representative Junkie, congratulations on a job well done.
You've got to be the quickest telephone bill I've ever gotten.
I think it was a loving arms comment.
Representative Junkie moves that House Bill 1149 as amended be recognized and passed and referred to the Commerce and Labor Committee. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
The bill moves forward. Thank you very much. Members, we will have a couple of bills next week as well, so you'll get a message on your emails regarding that. I'll note, too, the statewide franchising study has been completed. We're going to be looking at after the deadlines, we'll be kind of taking a more thorough perspective on what that information suggests. Representative Lilly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other day I was watching one of these TV shows and I had U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar talking about some stimulus funds, and I was just wondering if some of that you just mentioned are possible discussion items for bringing some of the stimulus money to Minnesota. Is that
Good question. Yes, we will have a hearing regarding the stimulus funds as well. Thanks for reminding me about that. And what, yep. And what the implications are for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. There's nothing else before the committee. Thank you, everyone. And the meeting is adjourned.